1 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse 23. He says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, The cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. If any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together into condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." You know, if we pay more attention to verse 31 than to Matthew chapter 5, where it talks about "judge not lest ye be judged," we might be in a good position. For if we would judge who? Ourselves. What a great, great thought that is. Not the text for the message, but the thought for the moment. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank You. We have the privilege tonight to, once again, to open our Bibles. Lord, we pray for the power, the unction, the teaching, the comfort, the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. Work in our midst, I do pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Please go ahead and be seated. To clarify some technicalities, an ordinance is a law given by God to man. In verse number 2 of this chapter, it says, "And now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them unto you." An ordinance is a law that is given by God to man. It is a command. Some speak of sacraments. A sacrament is, according to some, or according to definition, an ordinance that is a channel of God's grace. In other words, a sacrament is something we must do in order to obtain His grace. A sacrament is not grace, it is work. Since grace isn't merited, grace can only be received. And so to view things as sacraments is to view them as, I am doing something to merit God's grace. The only command that ever brought us grace, is the death of God's substitute for man, the man Christ Jesus. The only thing that ever did that was He upon the cross of Calvary as He died for your sins and for mine. In the New Testament, we find there are ordinances, and they are to show to you and I direction to take. They are instituted by the Lord. They were practiced by the disciples, and they were instructed by the epistles. We find in the local church there are two of those that we practice, that of the Lord's table and of baptism. And they are peculiar, by the way, to the local church. We have learned in the study of the Old Testament that details have very instructive meanings. At the Passover, they were to eat bread that was unleavened. There was a reason for that. Leaven was leftover dough from the previous day's baking that was beginning a fermentation process. Today, we use yeast and baking soda that produces the same effect, releasing gas that causes the bread to rise. But the bread they were to use in that particular Passover was unleavened bread. The Passover was symbolic of a new birth, with the blood being applied, which is a separation from the past, not bringing into it an old bread, but now a brand new bread. Unleavened bread, therefore, was new bread. You and I tonight, if we're saved, we have new life. And so we find at the Last Supper, the Lord Jesus Christ, He served unleavened bread. It was the Passover supper. And as He did that and gave Him of that bread and gave Him of that cup and what was the first institution of the Lord's Supper, He gave to us a wonderful type that you and I are to follow after. And so you and I tonight, as we partake of the unleavened bread, which represents the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, a body that, by the way, was perfect, that could die for your sins and for mine. Praise the Lord for that. We also find that the Bible says, after the same manner, in verse number 25, referring to the second element in the table, and it has significance as well. For that particular element we find here of the wine or of the grape juice is that which also was to be, can we say, use the word unleavened or not fermented. Vinegar is juice that has begun the fermentation process. The Lord Jesus Christ was given vinegar twice upon the cross of Calvary. The first time He refused that, for at that stage in the crucifixion, had that vinegar entered into His system, quite honestly, that could have tainted the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Interesting, we find in the Word of God that the second time that the vinegar was offered was just moments before He died. And though He partook of it, it never entered into His bloodstream. But yet by taking it, we find that He was a picture of man. But He immediately gave up the ghost. He had identified with man, yet the vinegar had never the time to taint the blood. To properly memorialize the Lord's blood, it must be with unfermented grape juice. Anything else is to completely humanize the Lord and strip Him of His deity. And so we come to the table of the Lord with unleavened and unfermented juice of the vine. Let me put a parenthesis here. There are many Christians today who believe in social drinking. They believe that it's okay to partake because Paul said a little wine for thy stomach's sake. But they do not want to take into account what Proverbs says when it says wine is a mocker and strong drink raging thereby. He goes on to say we're a fool if we partake. And so to those who are fools, I say to you, you ought to study the matter completely from the Word of God. For a little grape juice is good for your stomach's sake. And how we ought to consider what God says. A third very important portion of the Lord's Supper is the manner in which we receive it. Notice with me verse number 27. It says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord, what's the word? Unworthily. Shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. What part of speech is unworthily? It ends with an L-Y, which ought to be a key if we have any English understanding. It's an adverb. Adverbs describe verbs. In other words, an adverb tells us when, where, or how. Let's understand something tonight. He's not saying here that if you're unworthy, you can't drink of it and you don't deserve. There is nobody in this room who is worthy. Not a person in this room. We are unworthy. That's why it's grace that we must receive. He's talking here not with an adjective, but an adverb, and how we receive it. When, I believe, is very easy to understand. As oft as ye drink it. Some have said, when does a church partake? As oft as they would. I read recently that a church, I believe in Ohio, went back into history and discovered what they believe was the actual date upon which the Lord Jesus Christ instituted the Lord's Supper into this world. And so every year on that date, no matter what day of the week it is, they meet about 3 o'clock in the afternoon and they partake together of the Lord's Supper once a year on that date to commemorate it. I say to that church, amen. Some churches do so every week. That is their decision. To them I say, amen. It's a determination of the local church, as oft as ye drink it. Where is obviously in the church meeting. It's obviously because as we read the context, they have gathered together. But how becomes very important. As we go back through the chapter and begin to read and understand this chapter, we understand that here was a group of people that did not show respect one to another. Here was a group of people who did not treat each other in a what we might call an equal manner. Here was a people that some ate in one spot and some in another. Some were full and some were hungry after they got done eating. Matter of fact, they basically had a potluck, not a potluck, but a potluck amongst a few. Here's an ordinance that God has given to us. And as He says here to examine ourselves, it's really about what is your relationship to your brothers and sisters in Christ. If you're out of sorts with a brother or sister, if I understand the context, then we're drinking unworthily and we are in a position whereby we can be judged of God. And He says some have been judged so severely for this, they have died. God's taken them home. The Lord's table is a place of unity. And I believe the warning clearly indicates that as we look here. Not discerning, He says, the Lord's body. Isn't that interesting? That this would be the problem. What's He saying? We're not discerning that there are members within the body that we have been offensive to or that we're holding grudges against. And how this ought not to be. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So it's good for us to stop and consider, what's my relationship with the brethren in my church? The fourth thing that we ought to note concerning this matter of coming to the table of God is found in the words, in remembrance of me. The word remember is first used by God in connection with the symbolism of the rainbow. And in that He says, I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. God has put the rainbow for His remembrance, as if God can forget. But it's also there for you and I to remember that God has a covenant with mankind on never destroying the world again by the means of water. Joseph asked the butler to remember him when he came before Pharaoh. Moses instructed the Israelites to remember the bondage from which God had delivered them and gave them instructions concerning the unleavened bread. They were also to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. Remembrance is that which keeps us in touch with the past that we might be able to know where we are going. One of the problems in America today is that our young people, and many of you who have been brought up in some of our illustrious school system, do not know our past. Do not understand the roots from which we came. Do not understand the principles upon which this nation was founded by those men who had tremendous character, who stood for something. As a result, we have lost direction in America because we do not know from whence we came. If there is something that a family needs, it needs to understand its roots, that it might know the direction that it is going. Remembrance is that which brings back the old affections that we somehow have lost, and it causes gratitude to swell up within us once again. If Satan can, he will flood our old affections that we somehow just forget about him. He will give us thoughts that will get our minds off of God and upon the nasty now and now. He will keep us to the intent on here and now that we might forget that which God has for us. How we must constantly remember. It is good to remember the rock from which we've been hewn, the pit out of which God has brought us. How we need to be reminded often of the grace of God. Tonight we had a time of testimony. Oftentimes we think in testimony, I've got to give something grand that happened to me this last week. But you know, sometimes just a testimony that says, I thank God for the grace that He gave to me and has been shed upon my soul these many years, because it brings remembrance of that which sometimes we lose sight of. Paul told Timothy to put them in remembrance. Much of what you do from this pulpit is not to teach new, but to cause people to remember that which they have forgotten. And so the Lord says, this do in what? Remembrance of me. We look about and we see all the things that are taking place, and our hearts and our minds can be so taken. We forget, and we need to remember. When a person walks into that baptistry and they go under that water, it ought to remind us once again of the day that we gave our hearts and lives to the Lord and submitted unto water baptism. It ought to help us to remember that it was the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that saved us from our sin. As we gather at this table tonight, it's to help us to remember that it was His body which was broken for us. It was His blood that was shed that we might have everlasting life. But a time of remembrance. Some see it as very solemn. Some see it as a great thrill. However you see it, it's to remember what He did for you. He's a great Savior. Amen. Father, tonight as we partake one with another, Lord, I pray that, first of all, that our hearts are in tune one with another. Lord, I pray that we might be honest with You and honest with ourselves. That we might, if we need to in these few moments, to seek forgiveness. that we might be able to do this worthily. Lord, we know tonight that we're not worthy, but we can do it in a worthily manner. Lord God, I pray that You will help us to inspect our hearts in accord one with another. Brethren, as our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want you to take a few moments to examine yourself. Perhaps you need to get out of your seat and go to a brother or sister and ask for their forgiveness. But let God have His way in these moments.